Welcome to another UCTV.tv podcast presented by University of California Television.
I had not thought death had undone so many. Had not thought so young so many. For the last 3 years, the Santa Barbara Veterans Group has been setting up an Iraq War Memorial on the beach by the Santa Barbara Pier. They've done it 150 times at least. It's an exhausting job. Why are the vets working so hard? Perhaps because they see the effect it has. Some of the huge number of people strolling on the pier stop and look at the memorial. After they talk to us to find out what it's about, they often show surprise, shock, and finally, sadness. Then they seem transformed. Almost all say something like, "I didn't realize how many had died," or, "Before, it was just a number to me." They were asleep, but the sight of the memorial, its physical vastness, woke them up. On his visit to hell, Dante had already said it for them. "I never knew how many have been undone by death."
Well, every morning, every Sunday, I get up at 6 o'clock, come out here, pack together the crosses that I've made the night before, depending on how many casualties have occurred during the week since we last set up the display. So that's today's lot. I make all the signs as well. And I get the new numbers. And then I come down and glue the new ones on the sign.
He hadn't anticipated doing it on a regular basis. He didn't anticipate doing it once.
At the end of the day, he said, "So, you're going to do this next Sunday?" And I said, "I don't know. I hadn't thought about it. I guess I could. Sure, why not?" So I made a few more crosses because more guys got killed that week, and we set it up the second week. And then it went on and on like this for several weeks. It's like, "Well, we're going to do this again?" "Oh, I don't know. I guess so."
We could see that it was having an effect. We discussed doing it again, and he said he needed help. And so I got the Veterans for Peace, and I called Ron Dexter and the rest of the Veterans for Peace.
After the first time they were down here, when they brought down 320 crosses, Steve Sherrill and the town hall activists, and a few Veterans for Peace, I heard about it. So I came down the next week, and I've been here ever since.
And so they basically adopted the project, and that's when I joined the organization. And ever since then, it's become the flagship project of the Santa Barbara Chapter Veterans for Peace. And then, of course, we've also gotten a lot of attention in the media and a lot of attention in the community. And so there must be a dozen or so committed volunteers from the community that come out every Sunday and help us set this up. And it's just been growing week by week by week. Shortly after we started this, I said to Lane, "Hey, why don't we take some pictures of this and send it in to the webmaster for Veterans for Peace?" And he said, "Good idea." So they put some pictures up on the website, and the other chapters around the country got a look at it and said, "Wow, this is cool. We want to do this too." Other chapters from around the country have also duplicated this in one form or another. And there have been about, I'd say a dozen or so duplications of Arlington West. We've had Arlington Northwest and Arlington Midwest and Arlington South and Arlington Albany. And so there's been quite a few of them around the country. I don't know that they're all doing it every single Sunday like we are and like they are in Santa Monica, but there have been quite a few of them, and there still are.
The important thing is the community evolution. It was not a creation of any one individual, but it's a community creation of effort all across the community. And it's in that sense, it's a model for community change.
Well, I'm kind of the technical guy. I make the supports for the Wall of the Fallen. I cut the name tags out of cardstock on my bandsaw. I make the hardware to hold all the pictures and stuff and the boards that they're supported on, and we just keep making those.
I think there's nobody here that would try to tell you that they could do it by themselves. And there's nobody here that would tell you that that Arlington West was their idea, because it wasn't. Even the name Arlington West came from a World War II vet that was visiting us and said that we should call it that. So everything from the name to the image has been a community assemblage of art, and as such, it's effective because of the community.
You have to really be here from start to finish to see the, you know, the whole cycle. They'll start picking up about 5 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 4:30, and then this whole thing goes in reverse.
And I'm here because of the community. I'm not actually here because of the effect we have on people. I'm here because I enjoy this community. On Sunday, some people go to church. I come here and spend my day with this community.
All this is volunteer. It's all labor of love.
It's that old song. I'm not a member of the regulars. I'm just a volunteer. Good.
Sundays, the tourists seeking cheer stroll on our local pier. They pass in plain view a memorial quite new for our soldiers who died in the Iraq War this year. Sunday mornings, we vets install a cemetery with over 2,000 crosses and remove it Sunday nights, Sisyphus-like, a movable bier. Laid out like a real graveyard, it covers the beach to the right of the pier.
Mother's Day without my child, and it's also probably my last milestone day that I know of. You know, you have to get through the first Christmas, the first birthday, and but first Mother's Day, this has been a pretty hard day. He left the day after Mother's Day to go to Iraq, and he told me, "I'll make it up to you when I come back," and he didn't come back. So this just seemed like the right place to spend this Mother's Day, because I raised him on my own. We had a real nice relationship, and he always, when I say wanted to take care of me, but he always wanted to do the right things and celebrate the right things and be there for me when he could.
It is, it's sad to know that he's not going to be at the big events in my life, but it's also hard to know that he's not going to be there in the smaller things too, in the, like, playing with my kids or playing with his kids. He never got to be a father, and he just would have been an amazing uncle to my kids and been He was just really was a great person, and it sounds so cliche to say that when somebody has died, but we thought that before, and he was just always, he just had a presence about him. There's always something about him. Nobody, you couldn't really forget him. Always be the one screaming something out loud or wearing some horribly ugly Hawaiian shirt that he just loved, but I think he did it just to embarrass us, and we always had fun, whatever we did. It's still, I would hear from him on email, or we'd chat online or through letters, but it's just like, oh, well, he's just been busy.
Well, he's not dead, he's just gone, and he'll be back. He'll be on leave pretty soon. And I knew that wasn't true. I always knew that. And I never told myself that. But in your mind, you know, oh, Ken's not here. Oh, yeah, yeah, he'll be back.
It's just like, oh, well, he's just been busy for, it's almost been a year now. But it's definitely hasn't hit me yet. Even seeing his name on the news or seeing stuff in the newspaper, it's like, oh, well, he's just, they're just pretending, or it doesn't seem real to me at all.
I came back from Iraq September 15th, 2004. Spent 7 months, 212 days to be exact. There are five people in this memorial here that I know. A few from my unit and two from my hometown. The only two that I'm going to say right now are from my hometown, from my area, Lance Corporal Brandon Ramey and Lance Corporal Neil Pesci. Both died in combat.
I know he died doing exactly what he loved. Like, he wanted to go into the Marine Corps. He wanted to drive trucks. He wanted to go on trips. He volunteered to do this. And so it kind of puts me at peace, because I know he's doing what he was doing what he wanted to do. This is something, he wasn't forced at all, you know? He wanted to do this. He volunteered. And so at least I know he didn't know what was coming, and he was happy because he loved driving those 7 tons. That just... what he wanted to do. When they go over there, you think, okay, they're not infantry, it's fine, he's just, you know, a truck driver. And then when I heard about it, I was just like, no, couldn't be his unit, it couldn't be them. And then his mom called me, and I just knew, I just didn't want to hear it. I just collapsed, and I just didn't know what to say or what to do, because I guess I just never accepted the possibility. Like, I thought about it, but I never expected it to happen.
My father had been very ill, and he went through an operation, and it didn't look so good. So Chris was able to come home for a few weeks of leave because it was considered, you know, a family emergency. So he came home and helped my dad recover through this process, and it made my dad very happy to have both of his kids with him. And so he made it through okay, and then Chris went back to Kuwait, where he was based, because the doctor said, oh, you know, your father's gonna be fine. And you know, 2 weeks after Chris went back, my father died. So Chris came back out again, and this time he was able to spend a month with me. And we took care of things, you know. Our mother died years ago. And so we had this month together, and he applied for a compassionate reassignment through the Army, which is supposed to have made it so that he didn't have to go back to Kuwait in Iraq, that he could return to Arizona where he was based. And, you know, it's paperwork and bureaucracy and all that. So by the time the month was up, the paperwork hadn't been finalized yet, so he had to go back. And 2 weeks after he returned to Kuwait in a fatal accident. So basically he died 6 weeks after my father died. But I'm grateful that we had that month together, because that was the last we would be together.
Thank you.
We stand in the sand by the pier, talking with those who come near. Most either don't look, as if in a trance, or give only a sidelong glance. But some look at the crosses far and near, then at the books of the dead, laid out as leaves on our railing, beside the rail of the pier.
I've been wanting to see it ever since I read it in the newspaper, but I just never, like, got a chance to come up here, and it just so happened to work out that I wanted to do this. This is something I wanted to do, because I think it brings to light the severity of, like, how many people are dying every day.
You know, when you're down that street, you just see white, and then you're like, what is that? And then you come close, and you're like, oh, that's what it is. And You take a moment of silence. You don't say anything. You just look on those crosses, and you're just like, wow, like, that's insane. Like, that many people have died so far, and everything like that. And I don't think we're anywhere close to ending the war, and it's just, that's very sad. But that's how it is. But, yeah.
But it touches my heart more than anything. And, you know, especially when you see the pictures of when they started this memorial and now to see how it's grown, it's, you know, it's very sad, but at least I know that I'm not alone. You know, for better or for worse, there's other people out there that are going through this too. And I think that's actually one of the hardest things about losing someone in a war, is that you can't get away from it. You're reminded about it every day. You know, every day you see on the news, you hear about it, and you're reminded every day about that morning when you got that visitor telling you what had happened. And you replay it time and time again. You could just be sitting there at work doing your thing, and you got the news on and hear about another soldier, and it just takes you back every time. And that's what makes it harder, I think. But on the other side of that, you have more people to reach out to comfort. If you know, can find the strength in yourself to help somebody else. And I think that's what these amazing people are doing, is that they're easing their pain and by giving us a place to come and remember.
People cry, they pray, they spend some time. We've got, like, Carolyn, Carolyn especially is so good with people. She knows what to say. I feel a little uncomfortable.
Neil Pesci, actually, I went home for his funeral and was actually part of the whole thing. So that was difficult, because I got to speak with his family, and I never met his family until then. So I know that they would most certainly appreciate this whole thing.
Actually, we were going to go to Pismo, and it was booked, no hotel, so we camped out at a hotel in Santa Barbara. So it was the first time coming out here, saw this, came down, found my boy's name on there, and I was really proud of that. Really proud of that.
Who's your friend?
My friend's Mike Anderson. He's from Modesto, California. Graduate high school with him. He's a really cool dude. And it's sad to see his name, but it's like I feel the love from that. Like, that's really cool that I was actually able to find his name out here.
These people died for a reason, and as tragic as it was, I don't want to forget it. So something like this is good because I don't want to forget it. I don't want to forget them. I don't want to forget what they did.
I get a very similar feeling as I did when I walked past the Vietnam Memorial. Being a student at a GW University in Washington, there were Sundays that I would just walk to the Vietnam Memorial and just sit and watch the veterans grieve over the loss of their fellow soldiers, the loss of potentially their entire future as it completely changed them. And just a general grief about war, just how horrendous it is.
When I walked up to it, I initially thought and assumed incorrectly that it was a Vietnam memorial, possibly because that was more a part of my youth and my generation, and I have such strong memories of it. And then upon getting closer and seeing the signs, realized that it was the current conflict that we're in, which is equally as sad.
Oh, just a stillness and an immediate sadness. And for the fallen soldiers, for their families, certainly, enormous tragedy, ongoing tragedy, that's accumulating by the day. Not at all to disrespect their sacrifice. They're separate issues for me. What they're dying for and the fact that they died are separate issues.
I just don't want him to be forgotten. Our troops need to be remembered. I want them to be honored for as long as they're over there, and I just don't want people to forget about him and the sacrifice he made, because it was the ultimate sacrifice. I don't think people realize the severity. I don't think people hear about it and they're like, okay, 18. Okay, now it's up to 18. But when you come out here and you see all the crosses, you're like, oh my God, all these people have a husband or a wife or a son or parents, and then you're like, then the problem becomes more widespread, and then, like, at least for me, when I saw this, I was just like, before 18 was just a number, now it's like, oh my God.
I have very mixed emotions, very strong emotions. I look at those, each memorial, and I think that not only represents a human being, but the family behind the human being. So that I think of mothers and fathers and siblings. And it saddens me that these people had to die. I also feel a feeling of admiration for these individuals. And I think the best way to put it is grief. I feel a sense of grief for them. And at the same time, I walk away feeling angry. So that grief basically turns into, it manifests into anger as I walk away.
Eye-opener. It's different when you hear a number on a screen, the casualties are, amount of dead are, you don't understand actual numbers until you see, each cross, it represents a person. And when you see a whole side of a beach filled with crosses, you're just like, man, why are we doing this? Like, all these people have died, and for what? And so definitely eye opener.
And I remember getting a little bit further down. The memorial wasn't as long wide here as it is now. But we got a little bit further down where the signs of the crescent and the Jewish star are. And I was really struck by what a broad scope of people are involved in this.
And at that time, it was just an intellectual understanding of what was down here. And I came down, of course, with Judy, and we went for our breakfast. And again, it was an intellectual impact as I went down there. But I recall when I came back, Judy was taking pictures, and I was standing here contemplating. And the experiential was overwhelming, like it is now. Tears came down. I mean, you know, and I realized what a powerful impact these crosses have if one just stops and contemplates what has happened unnecessarily.
And I really am very glad it's here. It makes me incredibly sad. And I think it's important for us to be reminded of that. So I guess it makes it very personal. I have sons who are 20 and 18. You know, you see the ages of these men and women. So it's very powerful, and I'm very grateful to the people who have taken the time to do this.
Yeah, actually, the biggest impression, I think, was the first time we helped set it up. And one of the gentlemen handed us a stack of names and said, we're just putting them down this row here. And as you read each name and how they were killed and the ages, and I think that's when it really, you know, it hit home. And I think if a lot of people would come down and actually help set it up, it just brings you home a lot closer to it.
And we're really honored that we can memorialize these kids and that their parents entrust us with photos and write-ups about them and ask us to keep them with their friends. And that's made this memorial even more meaningful for those of us who work on it, and I also think for people who look at it. Up here in the very front rows, we move names of soldiers who've been visited by family and friends. And we also try to do things like accept mementos and photos from the family of their soldiers. And Ken Ballard's mom, Karen Meredith, gave us some dog tag replicas that we keep here. And she gave us this photo of a plaque that's at Ken's high school, memorializing him and another guy who died in Afghanistan, actually, and some photos.
I was surprised how many crosses there were, and as I was walking the rows trying to pick up all the flags, it just took so long, and it was really sad how many flags we had to pick up and just how many people lost their lives. So it was really sad, and it doesn't really hit you, you know? You just think Memorial Day, and when you see something like this, it really, like, affects how it really is. I think it just hit me harder. I mean, I always, you know, I'm sad when I hear that people have died in the wars and everything, but just seeing all the crosses takes a toll. Yeah.
I'm about to put Cindy Sheehan's son, Casey's tag on, and Cindy and her family are also very visible as members of Military Families Speak Out, and Cindy created with Bill Mitchell Gold Star Families for Peace, and they brought this little piggy because Pat, Casey's dad, said that Casey just loved to laugh and he wanted to have something on Casey's cross that showed that. Each of the people in at least 10 rows will have a little insignia on their card because someone has come to visit them purposely here either purposely or because they just came upon us by surprise and said, whoa, I know someone who died in this war and I want to do something to memorialize them.
We know just about everybody in it. Uh-huh. I mean, these people here, because we come down all the time. Uh-huh. And we went to a meeting where they had their weekly meeting or bi-weekly meeting. We uh-huh. sat in and just kind of heard what they do and what the organization's about. And just a great bunch of people and doing a great thing.
We would get occasional questions about, you know, were all these men and women Christians? And we would try and explain, well, we don't use the cross here as a Christian symbol. We use it as a graveyard marker. And if we had it to do over again, we probably would use a simple non-religious graveyard marker. But we were kind of committed at that point. So just to address that, we added, in honor of the Jewish dead, in honor of the Muslim dead. I know most of these people from other things we've done in the peace movement, peace marches, get-togethers, and once I heard that Stephen was starting this, I said, yeah, sounds like a great idea, I'll help. And I came down, I think, the second week, and I've been here ever since.
Now, Scott Rose here, his uncle lives in Santa Barbara, and he is here weekly. Every single week he comes. And he brought this rosary and this photo of Scott and this beautiful little bamboo cross. And he asked us to always keep this peace flag at Scott's cross. And every day, every Sunday, he comes and Nancy gives him a rose, and he places a rose. Vicky Castro brought these for her son, Jonathan. And Jonathan, look at how young he was. If people bring us a photo, we just take care of it. We just make sure it goes where it goes every week, and we've just gotten so that we have a little filing system that we use at the end of the day. And Travis's mom, Diane, is someone that I write to now and then. And I just want to be sure that when she comes back, things are exactly as I told her they would be. Meeting family members is a big part of what's kept me here, because that's how I know it's really, really making a difference.
We came down to Arlington West and blew me away.
Yeah.
Yeah. I never, being from the East Coast, I saw it on TV on Washington, D.C., but never saw it anywhere else. So it was quite a sight. It was very heartening, you know. It made you feel like something was really happening, and that we had a loss, you know. There was something going on that we were out of control with and we didn't know about. Until you saw it, you just heard it on CNN or wherever you listen, and it was more emotional.
So since November of 2003, early November, I've been here and watched it grow. People are learning from it. And I guess I am too, every week, just from my talks with people. You know, I'm learning what people think and what they feel. I talk to people from all over the world. I just feel it's important for me to be here to continue doing this, because it's become important to so many people. Parents of soldiers that have died, fellow soldiers that come to visit this, that come here and come here time after time after time and bring little mementos and pictures and write-ups, or ask us to keep certain crosses together. It's become an important memorial for them to come back to, and that's kind of what keeps me going and brings me back. The fact that it's become so important to them, and they ask us to please keep it going, so we do, and that's one of the things that drives me. I guess the main driver for me is that it's an important memorial for people now. It's really grown. We didn't know what this would become. But as big as it's gotten and as hard as it is to deal with these days, logistically and putting it up, that's what brings us back every week.
To remind us, to make us think. It's something I think about all the time because I have sons. And I have a lot of feelings about this war, and I'm sorry that these people were killed. And if this helps a little bit, I'm very grateful to the people who've made this possible. And I'm very struck by the fact that the people who have done this, who come here every Sunday, and who build these crosses, and who pay attention to the names of every person, every American person who's killed, are themselves men and women who are veterans for peace. That makes it hugely powerful.
I've worked with survivors of the Holocaust, and I've worked with inner city people, helping them with family affairs, and I have a deep appreciation and love for people. I love people. I love all different types of people. I think the differences are what makes our country so phenomenal. But when you look out here, there's really no difference. All these people have passed away. They're all representative of a loss, and that grief is painful. I've dealt with it firsthand when I've talked to people about loss, and it's powerful, and that's why I think that the grief portion manifests to anger, because it's just so strong. And I can't even, the feeling I have and the sadness I have, I can't even imagine the pain that these family members went through. And I step back and I think, well, it's not fair of me maybe to project the anger and grief together. Maybe some of these families are so, you know, obviously they admire the person who has passed away, but maybe they were pro-war. Maybe they thought this was extremely amazing. I feel a sadness and a sense of, I feel sorry that they had to be put in this situation, and maybe that's not fair. But that's truly how I feel.
When I meet a parent, I don't know how they feel about the war. And they don't need to hear it from me how I feel about the war. We need to focus on the fact that their child died and the fact that their child needs to be honored, and their sacrifice in losing their child also needs to be honored. And that's what we're really here for. And it's been good for all of us to open our hearts to them. And I've really grown through that. And met some incredible people. Even if I don't agree with how they feel about the war, we still agree about one thing, which is that all these kids deserve honor for the sacrifice that they made.
It's very difficult to see with the white crosses, the numbers involved, compared to when you just read it in the newspaper, when you see this amount sitting out here. It's really sinks in.
Makes you conscious.
Oh, very much so. Yeah, very much so, yeah.
When I first saw them, I appreciated the sign that also said, not only are we Americans suffering, but over 100,000 Iraqis were killed as well. Because I think we need to get beyond what religion we are, where we come from, and what color our skin is, and we need to start seeing ourselves as brothers and sisters.
It really makes you think about how much we've lost. And I like that it's not political. It's not a statement against the war. It's just a statement about the war. And you can bring to it, take away from it what you want. I don't think it is a political statement. I mean, it's political in that any statement you make about the war, pro or con, is political. Or even bringing it up is political. But it seems like a very tastefully done memorial. I would say it's a memorial. The same way that the cross on the side of the road for someone who died in an accident is a memorial.
They wake to a thought like a line from T.S. Eliot. I had not thought death had undone so many. They knew before they looked that our soldiers were dying in Iraq. But they didn't know they knew, or more to the point, they didn't feel what they knew. They hadn't felt that death had undone so many. Somehow the great size of the mock graveyard, its earthy concreteness, has forced them to feel the pain they didn't want to feel. They had been soldiering on, avoiding the thought and the pain. But now they are transformed, made new by feeling. We are suddenly bonded together, connected as persons. Many tell me their hopes and fears about someone in the service, how they yearn for them to come back, to walk on beaches and piers.
Change my perspective on things. I think I've pretty much come to terms with life and the and what life really is and what we live life for. It's not that I know that I'm going to come back, but I'm pretty confident in that because you have to be. I'm not worried about it. Whatever happens, happens because it had to. 21 years old.
And I stand with the Daniel Barrett, who believes that the just war theory is a cruel oxymoron. And that we're done with disposing of humans. To dispose of differences. I think I better stop.
My family is Mexican, and a lot of my family came here from Mexico, obviously. And out of the 10 children that my parents both have, most of us are, I'd say 9 out of 10 are college educated, and we have mixed feelings about the government and about the service and what have you. And funny thing is that I'm very forward-thinking liberal, and I have a lot of brothers and sisters that have both been Marines and in the Army and in the Navy, and have all fought and have all been very dedicated to serving our country. And so many times we've had conflict because, you know, I'm kind of standing up protesting the war and they're out going to fight the war. So it's been kind of a challenging conversation around Thanksgiving in our household, but we all respect each other's positions, and knowing that we came from a background where you had to struggle to come to this country to be, you know, successful and to have a future for your kids. You know, that's one of the reasons I kind of let them have their argument and they let me have mine, because they truly believe that there's a place for everything. And because my, for instance, my sister, who just actually retired from the service, she really thought that that was her responsibility and that was something she had to give back being here. And I thought, you're a mother, you have 3 kids, you should be home with your kids. So, you know, we all have a different perspective, but at the same time, we appreciate that we have the opportunity to live here. It's such a great place, and we have the right to do whatever we want. It's interesting coming from a family like mine, so diverse, yet, you know, we're still very close and we love each other very much. It's an interesting background. It's interesting to me in terms of that angle.
Well, yes, I went to Normandy a few years ago, and which was a breathtaking experience, and this is certainly reminiscent of that. Just to see the sheer numbers. And in that case, to be standing on that, in that cemetery within still the natural lifetime, what could have been the natural lifetime of those young people. It's as though the sadness came up through the ground, through your soul and out your eyes. Everybody was walking in a kind of reverence. Too sad to talk about, even as if, you know, oversleeping children. Awful. We shouldn't be political here at this memorial, because if we're here to memorialize these kids, not to make a political statement. If this memorial makes a political statement, it's up to the eye of the viewer.
I kind of, in a way, I just feel, I'd be honest with you, I feel ashamed. I just feel ashamed. I feel ashamed for being an American, being part of, you know, I mean, this, we're responsible for this. I don't support the war, but I'm part of this country. And just seeing all these people and all these good soldiers and all these people who love their country very much, and seeing them lay down their lives for this war makes me very, very sad. It makes me very sad. So that's the thing. I think that my feeling, I feel that their trust in their country was betrayed. I feel very strongly about that, and this just brings it home for me even more so. These are all good people, and they all didn't need to die like this. I'm sure they loved their country, and they knew they were doing the right thing. And I think that they were led into this war by bad leadership in this country.
I don't know that any war is cut and dry, but I would hope that the sense or the reason for being in a war would be more straightforward. I don't know if that's cut and dry or not, but at least straightforward. And I did not feel that this was as straightforward and cut and dry, and just such conflict about why we're there and if it's right or wrong. And didn't he say at the beginning this would be quick? Wasn't it just Saddam Hussein? And as with Vietnam, suddenly we're just stuck.
How many children do you have?
This is Zen. He's my one little boy.
And do you have any feelings about his future in terms of being a soldier?
That's not going to happen. I mean, if it's his choice to be a soldier when he becomes that age, that's his choice. I hope that we'll be living in a different world at that time. I think that the military can do a lot of good for the world. I've seen our soldiers do things like provide aid to the people after the tsunami, and that was wonderful. I've seen our soldiers do good things for people, and sometimes you need to have people to step in to do that. I hope in the world that when he becomes that age, the world will be in a better place, where we use people like that. We use our troops and other people's troops and all the sons and daughters of people in the world who want to serve. We use them in a positive way. And this Iraq war is the wrong way. I hope that this will be the last time that the United States tries to do something like this, because I have a feeling that it's not going to work out the way they thought it would. I have a feeling that we're going to get bogged down in there. We're going to reach the end of what we can do and realize that the United States cannot act unilaterally in the world. The world is too small, and we're all too dependent.
And it's really great to see all these people looking at it and talking about it, because I think in this country it's so easy to ignore this war and to ignore the price that we're paying, and it's good that that people are being interrupted by the war as they're riding their scooters and having their family vacation, because I think we need to think about it more.
Heart to heart with a stranger, for them an unexpected encounter. Neither their politics nor mine seem to matter. We are united by feeling. I have a sense of a first tiny step on the long road to healing. I read the names and ages, crawling in the sand between stations of the crosses. Most are young, I didn't know. Didn't know their ages. Didn't feel our losses. Hadn't read the pages.
Hard being a single mom, but he was a good single mom kid, and so I look back at it and say we were lucky. One of my friends said to me, well, you know, they say that children are like library books, we just borrow them. And I said, but I wasn't finished with the book yet. So, you know, somebody said, well, you know, God had plans for him in heaven. And I said, well, why couldn't the plans have been, you know, on earth? We could have done a lot together, him and me. So, yeah, I do. I'm grateful that I had him for 26 years. And, you know, we were good friends. But I can't finish. I cry instead, convulse with pain,
sobbing wet with many a tear. Hidden grief has struck deep. I wake from my long sleep in this moment by the rail of the pier. I am just another tourist, blindsided by long rows of crosses, struck by lightning on the road to Damascus. I learned that I must mourn my losses, at a wake by the pier. We must all mourn our losses, wherever we are, far or near. What can we learn from those visitors who wake up on the pier? Classic Greek drama taught that a nation must mourn for its tragic mistakes and atone for them, or be doomed to repeat them. The uncanny similarity between Vietnam and Iraq is a case in point. It may take many years, but we must apologize as a nation for what we did and mourn the tragic loss of life on all sides. A few people weeping at a war memorial are not enough. To wake up from our long sleep, like these few, we all need to mourn as long as necessary, whoever we are.
You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at uctv.tv.